Podcasting 2.0 for January 9th, 2026, episode 247, Aggie 5. Hello, podcasters. Hello, developers. Hello, hosting companies. Hello, interested parties. Hello, people who just stumbled upon this. This is your official board meeting of Podcasting 2.0. It's where we discuss the future of podcasting. Not just discuss it, we appear to be making it from time to time. I'm Adam Curry, coming to you from the heart of the Texas Hill Country. Wait, I forgot to say, we are the only boardroom that does not need to have Greenland. That's what I wanted to say. I'm Adam Curry, here in the heart of the Texas Hill Country, and in Alabama, the man who deserves more praise than he ever receives. Say hello to my friend on the other end, the one, the only, Mr. Dave Jones.
I want Iceland,
not green.
There's no ice in Iceland, and there's no green in Greenland. It's a very strange thing that they've set up there.
The Fall of Civilizations podcast on the Viking, the Viking era. Where they discover, landed on Greenland and discovered and landed on Greenland.
Yeah,
is highly
recommended.
Recommended, yes. It's 5 stars.
What is their takeaway?
It's about civilizations that were like super strong, dominant in at least some portion of the world, and then just kind of vanished. And their bottom line is they're gone.
No. You mean all the people who lived in Greenland are gone? There's only 56.
The Vikings.
Yeah. Well, they killed each other. They ate each other, I think, didn't they?
Well, suppose this is a great podcast. This Fall of Civilization podcast is fantastic. Although my one complaint, and it's not really, I mean, you can't really call it a complaint. I mean, but my one annoyance with it is they sort of wrap it all up, bottom line, why did this civilization fall? It's pretty much like you kind of hit a button and it's the same thing every time. It's always climate change.
That's funny.
which is legitimate in these contexts.
To a degree, when it gets really cold and people freeze to death, that's...
Yeah, when you have something called the Little Ice Age, it's probably going to shake some stuff up a little bit.
Yeah. The changing climate of the world in general, not because we're... smoking our pipe down here and heating up the atmosphere.
Smoking our pipe. Yeah. But it really does, and that's the interesting part of it is like all these civilizations fall most of the time by means beyond their control. It's things just happen. It's almost like somebody else is in control.
Really now?
Almost.
I mean, what are the chances someone else is in control? Let me think about it.
Far-fetched.
I know, but I mean, if only there were a book I could read something about.
A scroll. Yeah. If only there were some scrolls.
How you feeling, brother? I think this has been a tough couple of days for you, was my feeling.
Day jobs have been rough, yeah.
Well, day job, and then, hard. You had Aggie 5 shit the bed. Pardon my French.
Aggie 5.
What, wasn't that Aggie 5?
It sounds like a mascot for a football team. When you have
it is the Aggie 5. The
University of Georgia, their mascot is Ugga. UGA. Oh. And they'd have and every so often Ugga will die and they'll have another one.
That's Ugga
3, Ugga 4.
Like Bevo at the Longhorns. Yeah. Which Bevo is this? Shh, we don't talk about that. It's just Bevo. Okay. It's just Bevo.
Steer lasts forever though. Those guys live.
They
for
hang
a long
around.
Time.
They do hang around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's all good. But I mean,
that's what you say.
I had to upgrade. Yeah. I had to upgrade Aggie 5 to a two gigabyte instance.
I'll tell you, because we did Curry and the Keeper, which we hadn't done for several months for a number of reasons, and which is really nice to get my wife back on the mic. And then, I'm hosting that through Fountain Hosting, as we did, it was our kind of, we transitioned to test and see how it all worked, which works great. And I love their dashboard and everything. It's fantastic. But then, when you see it not come through on the index, all of a sudden I'm like, oh, I'm starting to sweat. I'm like, what's happening? Yeah. And then Nick the Rat, he sent in a note to us. He had an issue
It doesn't matter if it's user error or not, but what happens is there's this entity that we all kind of take for granted called the podcast index. And well, yeah. And, you know, we know how many different apps rely on it. Apps and services, I think we're up to like 70 or something. There's all kinds of people tapping into the index. And then, you know, at that moment, you just feel like, oh, man, the vulnerability. And I actually wanted to talk about that. But first, let us celebrate another win. I think it's this is huge. That iHeartRadio app, according to sources, that would be Pod News, they will be supporting video in RSS as an alternate enclosure.
Congratulations on this to Alex Gates, because he wrote the entire spec for the alternate enclosure, and it's a really tight, really good spec, and this is another one of those examples of you just got to give it time. You got to give it time to get it to reach maturity. You know, you write something and it just you throw it out there and you can't control how long the process is going to take.
Well, also, we have true fans supporting this since 1832.
Yes.
Well, but this is kind of a bigger point I wanted to drive towards at the beginning of this board meeting. So if everyone could settle down and stop eating the donuts and pay attention. We're in our sixth year, I believe, of doing the show. 6 year since you built the index, and this group, which is just a beautiful group because it's all kinds of people from all walks of life, all participating. Everybody is contributing something, whether it's just maybe it's just a comment on the Mastodon, or whatever it is. There's all these different ways that people contribute. This show contributes, there's implementations that contribute, there's hosting providers, there's developers, just interested parties. It is a truly a beautiful movement that is just hanging together, but it really, all of the work, I would say, centers around Podcast Index, for implementation, for making things work, for experimentation, for the namespace, for the documentation of the namespace. And we could list all of the names of people who have worked on this, but believe me, in 20 years from now, Adam Carolla invented it all. You should give up on ever ever thinking you're going to get credit for anything. That's just not how it works, but it's also not that important. But what is important, you and I have been walking together for a long time, brother. What are we now, 15, 16 years?
Long time.
We've been doing all kinds of crazy stuff. And this one, by far the craziest.
By a factor of 100.
And by far the most labor intensive. And, my part in this is not the same as yours, but you're my brother, you're my friend, you're my compadre, we do stuff together. And I kind of want to pull on the brake for a second. Because when this fail happened, the Aggie 5 fail, you and I had a very short exchange. And you were like, well, I had to upgrade Aggie 5. And I'm like, hey, man, is this a money issue? He said, no, it's more of a technical issue. It's a time issue. I just can't get the time to focus on it. Am I characterizing this correctly?
Yeah, mostly. I think so.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, of all the things that we are given by God, time is the one that you really own for yourself. And, you only have so much of it in the day and in your life.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking it's time to get real about this. I mean, just look at the successes of 2025 with Apple's adoption of multiple tags, including chapters, transcripts, which has been started to become kind of an industry-wide acceptance. I think the iHeartRadio app claiming that they will, because it comes from Triton Digital, I think. And so they're on board, but it all really centers around the work that you mainly coordinate and for the most part do. So you can say, yeah, that's true, because it is. I'll say it for you. So there's right now we're at a spot where, again, you know, it doesn't matter who does what we create, what we build. The beneficiary is the free word that can spread throughout podcasting without being owned by any platform, which is really the reason we started this in the first place, is because everybody was dependent upon Apple. Not knocking them, but when they decided to remove podcasts, it's like, oh, okay, no. There was no movement, zero, for over, I'm just going to remind people, for over a decade, no technical movement. And it was continuously, well, you know, if Apple doesn't do it, and so once we had a bunch of apps out there that were actually implementing the namespace, things started to move. Hosting companies started to move. Something shifted and things started to move forward. And so now it is going to benefit the universe at large. And we know that iHeartRadio, as far as I know, they don't pull the index, but that development came from this whole ecosystem that we started and from the index that you maintain. So it's time to get serious about that. And I have some thoughts, because the number one thing, which I've said to you for months, maybe years, is it would be great if you could focus on this primarily and not have your day job. And so before I even go any further, if you could do this full time or 4 days a week or whatever it would take you to really help manage the development process, the help, you know, because you're very good at that. You are the pod sage. You help shape the specs. You help, you're unshakable. You are seen as a man of wisdom. So you're kind of like Isaiah, really, like Solomon.
Stop it. Stop.
No, but everyone will agree with me. I'm the lightning rod, you know, it's like, blah, okay. But this, we cannot keep going forward this way. So my question, and I've asked this in private many times, I think I know the answer, but if you could, quote unquote, quit your day job and focus on this, would that be desirable for you?
I mean, yeah, it's, well, you know, you, yeah, there's lots of things that go into that, you know, and I've had opportunities, for that to happen. And it's a complicated question, because I mean, it's a complicated question on a lot of levels. I mean, you know, there's, you know, the place I've been at in my day job, I've been there for almost 30 years, you know, I've been there a very, very long time. And so I have a lot of deep connections there that are important to me. So it's more than, you know, it's more than just a, you know.
Yeah. It becomes a family.
Yeah.
In a way.
It's complex. But also there's part of me that also is a little hesitant to try to do something like that because, I don't know, for a couple of reasons that are hard to describe. This may be an interesting discussion beyond just this, but just podcasting 2.0, because I think a lot of people get into this. It's a very common thing for people to think they're doing one or two things on the side, and then they wonder, maybe they get an opportunity to go do that thing full time. Or they think about doing it full time, and then the questions begin of, should I do it? How is that going to look? All these kinds of things. So maybe it's an interesting discussion from that standpoint. And because I feel this is speaking as somebody, I've always had or done side gigs. And some, you know, 90% of the time, the side gigs do not pay a dime. But, you know, I don't think I've ever had one that's, to my knowledge, I don't think I've ever gotten paid for any side gig. And those side gigs have ranged from podcasting 2.0 to the software that me and you developed on the side to being in open source, going way back to, you know, 99, 2000 open source projects, contributions. Before that, I was a part-time youth minister at a church here in town. And so, like, I've never actually gotten paid, I don't think, for any of that stuff. I know I haven't. And the what's interesting to me, and I've thought about this a lot, is there's this, if you're not in the church world, if you're not in a sort of a Christian circle, there's this term that's thrown around in the Christian world or in the church world called bivocational. Hmm. You know, you can be a bivocational minister. And so, you know, that's simply just shorthand way of saying you have to have a day job because your ministry that you're doing is not, can't pay you enough to support you and your family.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a lot. I mean, most of church ministry is that. There's a very small percentage that's actually full-time job supporting. You know, I'd say probably, you know, if we're using made up numbers here, probably 80% of ministry in the world is done by vocationally. It's people doing it on the side for little or no pay. And this goes back to, you know, there again in a Christian context or a Jewish context, this goes back to Paul. You know, Paul was a tent maker.
Mm-hmm.
And Matthew was a tax collector. John was a fisherman. So there's these, the bivocational nature of ministry, and is something I grew up with, and I kind of always thought was really important, because I feel like it keeps you connected to the people that you are ministering to. I feel like there's a real, it's really, sometimes it's very hard. If you're going through a tough time in your life, it's very hard to hear advice from someone who is a full-time preacher, pastor, minister. There's certain times that's hard to listen to, because you're like, you know what? You know, you're supported. I'm having to work three jobs. You've got what looks like from the outside a cush job in the church, these kinds of things. I've always felt like sort of community supported things were had a character building quality and an ability to connect you to other people in a real way that you lose once you get paid for doing that thing. And I think it also applies somewhat here with open source software and open standards development and that kind of thing. It's really difficult to be, I don't know, you lose something once you make that step. So, you know, if something, you know, somebody, let's just say that, let's say that Apple came in and said, hey, Podcasting 2.0, we're going to create a fund, a community, a tech leader led fund with YouTube, Apple, Spotify, all these people, all these organizations. And we're going to do a development fund for new features, almost like an incubator. And we're going to seed it with, you know, $1 million, and we're going to create an organization around it. And then, but that's going to fund Podcasting 2.0 development and the index and all this kind of stuff. It's, one part of you would jump and say, that's amazing. I can't, you know, sign me up. And the other part has a little bit of trouble sleeping at night because you're like, well, you know, there's something about the guerrilla nature of doing these things on the side where you truly do not care what succeeds or fails. You care about the trying, not the success.
Okay.
And, you know, and I feel like that could, you know, it's very possible. I feel like this, it's more than possible. It's probable that the fire that happens under you when you're just doing something purely for the creation aspect, I feel like without that, everything doesn't work.
Okay. So believe me when I say that if Apple did that, I would be the first in line saying, no, go away. Mm-hmm. You know, the same way Google basically ruined Firefox. You know, if you have some sugar daddy who's funding it, that I would never propose that. For the past 18 years, I have lived with my church, which is the Church of Gitmo Nation, which is very similar to the bivocational nature of what you're about church in general. In fact, when we studied the value for value model, we looked at churches, like how do churches do it? What exactly do they do? And it turns out that we were using terms that I didn't even know were used in the biblical realm, such as time, talent, treasure. I had no idea that just, it's like someone might be controlling something. But the fun of creating these shows that we do twice a week has not diminished because it is value for value. If we had decided to go with advertising, forget all the issues of advertising that probably wouldn't have worked anyway for us. I think it would have been, you know, we might not have made it this long. I mean, it probably wouldn't have been as fun, but to know that it's valued by people according to their means and what they truly feel is value has kept me, I can't speak for, well, I think Dvorak may be like, hey, we got enough money, it's good. Can always be more. I think has been a big part of what has always driven me because it just feels good. And what I was going to say is that if you look at the landscape of what has been built here and the people who are involved, in fact, if you look at the podcast standards project, there are 14 hosting companies who are a member of the podcast standards project. And we've been, I feel, you know, we said when from the outset, we said this will be value for value, but I think I've privately always kind of said to you, man, it would be my wish and my prayer that you could do this full time and wouldn't have to be dividing your time. Now you throw me a bit of a curveball with the bivocational angle on it. But what I was going to say was, I believe it to be quite trivial to get $10,000 a month into this project, value for value, from the people who care about it and different means if we really put it on the line. That's kind of the scary part of value for value is you're putting it on the line. If it doesn't work and people don't like it, which, you know, arguably the proof is already there over 5 years of this, then it just doesn't work. You know, then I said, all right, then go do something else. But I was going to say that if we truly took value for value seriously, or right now today, with the Bitcoin that we have on the node and our reserves, you could leave your job and work for a year and make the same money. I'm just, you know, estimating, but I think it's kind of the same. without losing any income, but being able to dedicate your heart and your soul to the project or whatever projects you want, but they all kind of fold into one. And so, not looking for an answer, but my suggestion was going to be that if that's all we need to not kill Dave, because and I'm saying that kind of funny, but not really, because I know you for a long time, and I know, and you have a lot of responsibility in the day job. And believe me, the hardest part of any scenario that we would look at would be decoupling from your day job family, and they would probably put up a fight, and they would probably grab onto your ankles, and you know, I have to go out there with my guns and stuff, and so, but I would put up the first $1,000 a month just to kickstart this and get it going. And I, again, not looking for an answer, but I feel that if I look at what has been accomplished, that you've been the nucleus of, what it would mean for podcasting, call it open podcasting, whatever you want, I think it would be a huge benefit to moving things forward for everything and everybody. Does that make sense, what I'm saying?
I understand the sentiment. I'm not trying to downplay the, you know, the seriousness by calling it sentiment. That's not what I'm doing. I understand, but the sentiment aspect of what you're saying, I do understand it. I just think that when I told you, my exact words were, it's not a money problem, it's an engineering problem. There's an aspect of when you build, the problem is this thing isn't built right.
Well, hold on, before we go there.
Okay.
Right. Yes, you said not an engineering issue, but need to re-engineer the aggregator stack, but can't get the hours needed to do it.
Yes.
That's the part that I'm responding to.
And I think the reason I'm so hesitant about a money thing is because...
Well, you can do it for free. That's fine with me.
Hold on, before you
say that, I believe in value for value, Dave. I live by value for value. And yes, of course, there's value you get back from satisfaction for having done something, but the amount of value you're providing is just not coming back to you. And I've seen the value for value model work, and we haven't really taken it seriously. I mean, yes, we've said, well, you know, keep the engines running. But, and maybe this conversation is only just for everybody to step the fuck back for a second and understand, pardon me, and understand what it is that you've been doing. Because it sometimes just gets to a cavalier nature, you know, I just feel it. I'm like, Do any of you really understand what has been done here and what Dave is doing? And when I say don't kill Dave, I mean, I really mean that. So I'm a natural problem solver, you know, that, by the way, right. Do not recommend doing that with your wife, any wife.
Do not do that.
But at a certain point, I just need to say, hold on a second. I'm seeing something here. And I want to offer solutions, ones that I can actually contribute to, because I know that we could make that work. I know how to do it. It's not a lot of money. Now, there's many ways to get money, but I think any other way than value for value would indeed put the whole project in peril. So I'm just putting this out there as an offer for you to consider. And then you can we can go back and tabletop it, game it out. But I would like you to consider it beyond today's board meeting.
Yeah, of course I will. Yeah, I take everything you say to heart, and I I do spend time thinking about it. And the issue, I really was not mentally prepared to have this conversation today.
So well, no,
I don't.
Of course not.
This one's taken me by surprise, you know, cause, but it's not a bad surprise. I mean, it's always good to talk about stuff that are not in the notes. And so, I mean, I think the money, I mean, I love money. Everybody does. I mean, everybody can find a great way to use money, and I'm no exception to that.
Wait, I got a clip for you.
I like brand new money. I don't want any money around me. It's not. I'd almost rather have a new one than than an old 20. Now that's kind of dumb, isn't it? But there's something about new money that excites you.
Yeah.
You like $100 bills?
Oh yeah, I like new money too.
Oh. The most beautiful thing on earth is a $100 bill. I ain't seen a woman as good looking as a $100 bill. There's something about a $100 bill that excites you.
Yeah.
Is that a preacher?
Yes, of course.
Of course it is.
Yeah, it's a Mo Fax clip.
Okay, that's awesome. Of course it's a preacher. The money aspect of it is, it's really, I just don't think that important.
Well, then let's put that to the side. As we go through this conversation, put the money aspect to the side, because I guarantee you, whatever you need will be provided. I know how to do that. I know how to get it. I know where to get it from. I know how to make people send it. I do.
I know how to make people send it.
Yes.
That's a funny thing to say.
Because people want to. They want to have a reason to support things. And we've been doing the show, and yeah, we just thank people for supporting us, but it's not really, there's a million things that go into a true, full, rounded value for value model. So I just want to say that part I can handle. That part I know we can make that work. But you're saying something different, which is interesting.
Yeah. And I want to make this thing work the problem is not money. And it's not really, it's a little bit, the reason the time argument doesn't really sit to me is that time is the universal problem. I mean, you know, the thing is, I don't know that more time would solve it either, because time is sort of like everywhere you live, you always think, I don't have enough storage space. And it's not because you don't have enough storage space. It's because you have too much stuff. And so the time thing is like, you always think, I never have enough time. But somehow time is a resource that you can go get when it's important enough to you to do so. And I don't know exactly how to explain the way that works. But that is the life that I have been living for the last, you know, nearly 6 years, is that when I need the time to fix a thing, somehow it appears. And I know that that is the case here. And I also know that it's an engineering issue. If this thing is built right, if we are able to fix the aggregator issues in an open way, then I think I'll just feel better about what the end result is, because everyone will have ownership in it, and not just me.
No, but you know, I'm not saying you change anything in the process. Or look, man, it's like, it's a beautiful thing to not have to go to work at 8:30 in the morning to deal with someone's caps lock because the password won't work. I'm not saying that's your whole life. But, sure. Or, you know, oh, the generator went down. I've got to go be there for 48 hours and feed it with fuel. Now I get up at 6:30 by myself. I don't have to, because I'm excited to see what the world brings me and what's the next thing that pops up and where can I turn left or turn right. It's not so much that I have more time to work on my day job. It's I have the freedom to dream about my day job. Mm-hmm.
I think one day Godcaster will be that. And if I have to, put a hope on something, it's that Godcaster would turn into that thing eventually.
Oh, good. Everybody can send Godcaster money. That would be good. Why don't we start there?
The purity of this of the Podcasting 2.0 project just doesn't feel that way to me.
Okay.
You know, like I said, I've had an opportunity to make a change, you know, at some point. And
I talked you out of it partially.
Partially. But I had an opportunity, and my vision going into that opportunity was that was going to be the whole job. I didn't want it to be a podcasting 2.0 support mechanism. Mm-hmm. And I think that's important. I feel like podcasting 2.0 is so rare to have a pure play open source project where everybody can contribute and there is no corporate ownership of in any capacity. There is no like, and I've said this before, if all the money went away,
yeah, we'd still pay for it ourselves.
I'd still run it myself. Yeah. I would run this. I will run this thing for the rest of my life. And when you already are committed to something in that way, like the time frames get longer because you're having aggregator problems. And when you're getting a constant stream of support money coming in, you feel a lot of pressure to stop what you're doing and fix everything becomes really important. But when you have a truly open source project where you're getting money and it's meeting your needs, you know, for the hosting and that kind of thing, it's paying the bills, but you're not, you know, you're not living off of it. Well, then your time frames get longer. You're like, well, I've got this problem with the aggregators going, you know, it needs to be re-engineered. You're like, well, it'll get there. It'll fix itself over time. We'll all contribute and we'll build something new and then we'll have, you know, and then we'll have a great thing to look back on and show and see how we did it. And I'm also a little leery of money tends to be on that same note. Money tends to be an accelerant. It accelerates things that don't need to be accelerated.
Well, I'm just going to disagree on that because living on value for value, it's not like that at all. I mean, it isn't.
Your situation is different. I do. I think your situation is truly different. I think that you're right when you say that. But what I'm saying is when the issue is a technical one, when it's a how do I engineer a solution to this problem, to a particular problem, like on a programming level or something like that, or like an open source hardware project, when the problem is a sort of technical engineering issue, I think this is a problem with startup culture. Startup culture gets a humongous cash infusion up front, and you tend to accelerate your solutions to problems that should take longer because time can cut in both directions.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm with you on that. I don't want you to get too hung up on the money because believe me, it's not easy because it's a roller coaster. You know, it's up and down. It's up and down. Like, okay, well, you know, we got to tell people that it's necessary to support us. So it's not, it's not like all of a sudden you're swimming in cash. You can solve everything with cash. It's quite different from that. I hear what you're saying. So, but I was responding purely to one comment that I'd not heard you say before. When you threw time at me, that's when my brain went, okay, time. So anyway, the support of the index of the entire project is based on time and talent and treasure. Notice treasure is the last one. So the contributions that everybody put in are of equal weight, of equal importance. I was merely giving an opportunity for you to consider, because I'm just going to tell you, we could make it work. So if at any point you say, you know, I really want to work on this more or whatever, then we can make that work. I just want to put that out there as a forever dangling carrot.
Let me get spiritual for you for once, just brief, very briefly. And those who are going to roll your eyes, you can go ahead and roll them now and get them out of your, get it out of your way. I just feel like, based on what has happened, on all the different factors that have popped up over the last, you know, five and a half years, I feel like God is doing something important in all of our lives. You, me, everybody involved in podcasting 2.0. I feel like there's an important spiritual aspect of the spiritual manifestation that is happening, and I don't know what it is exactly, but I do know that time is a factor, and I'm afraid of tampering with that, because I feel like spiritual truths a lot of times need time to manifest themselves in our minds that you can't short circuit. And I'm afraid of messing with what that formula is. That may sound strange, but, that's part of this too.
I completely understand. And at this point, if anyone wants to come forward, this is an altar call. We will have our prayer team up front. Then we'd be happy to pray with you. Pray with Brother Dave.
Brother Joe over there is ready. He's on one side of the auditorium.
Well, yeah. So first of all, I couldn't resist.
Feel free to eye roll that, but I'm just telling you how I really feel.
I'm with you. Look, I got saved during this project. You know, so yes, absolutely. I'm 100% on board. So that's enough reason for me to be satisfied that we had this conversation. And if the Spirit needs us to have it again, we'll know.
I feel that way as well. When the signals come down, I'm ready to see them.
Okay. You know? All right. Amen and amen.
And amen.
All right, Brother Dave, back to the topic of the day. Whatever you came prepared to talk about.
The Computer Chronicles. Did you get my clips?
I did, yes. Computer Chronicles.
Do you remember this TV show?
Well, of course. In fact, I think there's a fantastic episode with Dvorak.
Yes.
Where he's trying to show how easy it is to take apart this PC and snap it back together. And it does anything but easily snap apart and back together. And it's a hilarious classic video.
And it shows his talent with vamping, because he is just vamping like it's a clinic.
And he has and he has those Buggles glasses on, you know, like from Video Killed the Radio Star. Yeah, it's fantastic. It's good.
What? For some reason, this started coming up on my YouTube feed. And so I started watching these old Computer Chronicles episodes. And this one, there's a clip here from that show about the Windows. This is Windows NT 3. So very.
I worked with Windows NT. This was in my day.
93, I think, is when this was.
Yes. Yes. And I left MTV in 93, I believe, and started my first company, OnRamp. And we were using NT, and of course, a couple of years later, Windows 95 came with, didn't they have Windows 3.1 at this point as well with NT?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
That's right. Windows 3.11 was like the the most stable, awesome version.
Right. But we were all using NT because it had a POSIX kernel.
Yeah, and it could run on MIPS.
Yeah.
Remember MIPS?
Yes. Oh, NEC had MIPS machines. Mm-hmm. In fact, I think I did a booth one time for NEC at CES or Comdex.
NEC was, I'm thinking of NCR. That was National Cash Register.
No, the NEC had the MIPS machines. They had the early MIPS machines. Yeah.
That was the thing. The Windows NT kernel was portable. It could run on Spark and MIPS. Yeah.
And they built that for the government. They built it for the government, I think, if I recall. It was some government requirement that it had to be able to run on these other type of processors.
And it eventually Windows NT, so you had two separate kernels. You had the 95-98 kernel and the NT kernel. And eventually these two things merged in the Windows 2000 product.
Which was a dog. I hated Windows 2000.
Well, it's not as bad as Windows Me. Well, remember Windows Me?
Hey, but wait a minute. Wasn't NT, was it NT? I remember doing this. If you had someone's IP address, you could send them a ping flood and it would blue screen it within like a nanosecond.
Oh yeah, there was so many versions of blue screen in somebody's computer.
It was so cool. I remember my buddy, he was running SGI. He was running graphics, SGI graphics.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But Silicon
Graphics.
Yeah. Yeah, but then he had a Windows NT machine. He was in Holland. I'm like, and I said, hey, send me a click on this link. So I had his IP address. He said, now watch this, 3, 2, 1, boom. He said, what just happened?
Said, you're a turd.
Yes. He was not happy.
I was a little behind you on that because Windows NT, my first experience with NT was NT 4.
Okay.
So NT 3, I missed NT 3. But this clip is, Windows NT at the time was codenamed Cairo.
So I remember Cairo. Sure. Uh-huh. Sure. The road to Cairo. That was the marketing, uh-huh. The road to Cairo.
And he's going to talk about Cairo, but this is just interesting to me, but listen to what he says and I'll have a comment.
Program managers say Cairo will bring a new level of intuitive ability to NT.
Cairo will make it easier for people to say, just give me the sales data for the month of December and the system will take care of finding the data.
Yeah.
It'll also enable people to build solutions where they can work with the data in exactly the way they want to. They don't have to worry about what application they're running in. They don't have to worry about the exact structure of the data. Things will just flow more smoothly in the way that people want it.
Oh, basically the same promise they're making with AI today.
Yes, exactly.
The exact same promise.
This is the Silicon Valley lie machine that just never stops. It just is over and over. Every time there's some news cycle, it's going to be, you don't have to worry about where your data is. You're just going to be able to say, give me the December financials, and it's just going to do it. Yeah. It's going to be magic. And they've been crapping this out since the early 90s. Well, it's such garbage.
That's the enterprise version. And then the consumer version is your fridge will know when you're running out of milk. It will automatically order it for you, which I still to this day have not seen.
Yeah, and now we were seeing that at CES in the 80s, mm-hmm. You know, is yeah. So anyway, just an interesting side note.
I will say that I've been using, thank you for the link to Gemini CLI.
Yeah.
I mean, Alex should Gemini has been quite impressive, actually. It has a huge context window, but I forget the exact
size. I wonder how they
size.
Do that.
Well, I mean, this I think is the holy grail is the yeah. is the context window, but you know, someone's got to pay for it somewhere, and it's been rather impressive. In fact, I did a whole analysis for my use case for Omarchi.
Are you switching to that?
I'm considering it. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because my whole studio still runs on Windows for two reasons. One is the Rodecaster, and the second one is my playout system. But I mean, there's many ways to build the type of playout system I have, and I'm not too. That's actually kind of the easy part, really.
You could vibe code it
very easily. I vibe coded some stuff the other day, like literally like 5 minutes. Like, but I needed a music deployment system for all these individual Godcaster stations. Mm-hmm. It was so easy. I mean, I knew I wanted to use rsync. That was the way to go. And, you know, just boom, 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 put it together for me. Beautiful.
You're a machine.
But I would love to, because what Omarchi does, and it was Paul, Godcaster Paul, who built the Godcaster app. It was building the Godcaster app. It's a never-ending process. He turned me on to it. He said a lot of devs are moving towards, and I can understand why, because I love keyboard commands. I love shortcuts. I use them all the time. And to be able to control the UI with your shortcuts and just make it really fast and like things pop up and disappear and split and organize. And wow, there's no menu bar really to speak of, or you don't need to have a menu bar. I can rebuild my whole workflow command line, actually, just for the show, for shows, just based upon how I saw that thing working. And I'm a mouseaholic. You know, I got a mouse around 100 miles a week with the stuff I'm doing. Like, if I could just keep my hands on the keyboard, wow, that would be fantastic.
Tiling window managers are great. I remember Fluxbox. Fluxbox. It's based off a window manager called Blackbox, but then they later forked it into a thing called Fluxbox, and it was just everything was done from a right click menu, but then you could put it into a tiling window manager mode, and so it would just always tile.
Mm-hmm.
It was great. Yeah, I got super used to that. I was really fast on it. And that was a long time. You remember Motif?
Yes, I do remember Motif. Yes.
Yeah, so I had Fluxbox with a Motif like Chrome on it, and then it was tiling mode, and it was like, man, you could just fly.
Well,
all kinds of shortcut keys. Yeah.
I just get killer. So, Windows just scares me. Yeah, it's like it's very critical to what I do. Mm-hmm. You get all these, just there's a lot of scary stuff. I'm like, no, I just don't really want any of that. So.
Well, speaking of the AI coding stuff. So I put up two repositories today. One is a skeleton of a thing. And let me link to it over in the boardroom. Copy clean link. Paste. All right, in the boardroom. So, in order to fight the AI slop battle and just the spam battle in general, mm-hmm, amongst podcast directories and all of us, we need some way. I feel like the only in the past, the way you would do this is with a machine learning model, and you would train a machine learning model to do some sort of recognition on a set of inputs that are coming from a feed. And you'd say, okay, here's a podcast feed, and here's the title, here's the description, here's the image, here's the feed's URL, here's the enclosure URL. Here's a transcript. You just feed it all this data about, you would ingest all this data about a feed, and you'd say, and you'd have a matrix, and you would say, okay, given these parameters, it ends up being either a one or a zero, and that's your machine learning model to determine whether something is spam or not spam.
Mm-hmm.
The easier way to do that, I feel now, will be, is using LLMs. So if instead we use a language model, then the training part becomes easier, because now the training just consists of describing what is a spam feed or a slop feed.
Well, that's basically heuristics, isn't it?
Yeah, but you know, it's this is all text driven anyway, and all these, you know, all these RSS feed metadata, you know, aspects. So why not let the language model do it? And so we need a place to describe what a spam feed consists of or what a slop feed consists of. And so that's what this repository is meant to do. What I think this should be, it's called podcast quality control.
Did you post it on the index?
Yes, I did earlier today. Okay. Yeah. So podcast quality control sounds like a CIA operation, but it's not. It's going to consist of multiple files describing the different things. And I've been testing this. So what I have is I have an Olama server running the latest GPT OSS model.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been refining a script that calls the Open Web UI the Olama API.
Mm.
And just asks it, okay, it tells it, here's a feed, here's a podcast feed, and here's a title, here's a description, blah, blah, blah. Based on these details, is this feed spam?
High quality, malicious spam or slop?
Yes.
Yeah, got it.
And it's actually beginning to do a pretty good job.
So does the Olama model, it references these files? Is that the idea? It references these files and then makes a determination?
Yes. What I've been doing is feeding it a bunch of things that I'm seeing. Mm-hmm. So the context for its decision or for its, for the context for its, model, cycle where it feeds back on itself. The context there is I'm feeding it what I consider to be spammy feeds.
Mm-hmm.
And so that would be like Vietnamese casinos. And it's just all the stuff I'm seeing a lot of.
Now, are you doing this based on the recent endpoint?
Yeah. And so that, yes. And so that is the other repository that I posted today, which is
the index monitor.
The index monitor.
Ooh. Oh, look, wait, is this a script I can load?
It's a Rust. No, all you gotta do is do you have Rust installed?
Well, not yet, but I will.
Okay. Just install Rust and do cargo run and you'll be off to the races. It should build for you. If you just clone the GitHub repo down and do cargo run on it.
Okay.
Cool. It's a command line tool. And again, this is just an exploratory thing that I'm trying. I'm throwing a bunch of stuff at the wall to see what sticks. But I think we all would benefit from having a tool like this where we can interact with the index and in a way where we just have, you know, like you said, hotkeys, where we can, you know, do index management stuff from an app like this.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, the main interface, right, like I say, right now, this can be changed, but right now, the main interface is just polling every 60 seconds to see what the latest new feeds that have been added to the index, giving you a little bit of detail about it. You can hit the X button to view the XML. You can hit the P button to play the latest enclosure, so you can hear a sample of what this thing is. And that's it for right now. So this is sort of like a triage thing where you're watching what's coming into the index and you're able to say, oh, look, there's a junk feed or whatever. So the next step in this is to be able to put in an API, a, a read-write API key. That way you can feed back and say, nuke it. Mm-hmm. This feed's crap, delete it. This feed is spam, delete it. So this will evolve, hopefully, to become the thing, the essentially the management interface. That,
oh, sorry.
Whoa.
The 33,333 from Noble Pain. Okay.
Oh.
Good. Thank you.
This will evolve to become the management pane that we as power users for the index will use.
Mm-hmm.
So that goes back to, and so, excuse me, the last portion of the management interface, the PI monitor management interface, will be the ability to hook in, so be like a plug-in architecture. The plug-in part of it, what I'm hoping this will do is allow you to do some automation tools. So you can hook in a script or something like that that will monitor on your behalf and then automatically do things. So it could be calling some LLM somewhere, or, you know, it could be, who knows? I mean, backing up the audio from certain feeds. I mean, there is no limit to what a plugin system that could do if it's monitoring aspects of the index in real time.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that could become the basis of the quality control system. But the issue is, in order for the quality control system to aspect of this thing to work, where we're asking a model what it, you know, to make a decision, we're going to have the parameters for what the quality control is.
Mm-hmm.
So we need, so what that would look like is you would say, okay, in the quality control repository, there's a file called, slop. And it's going to, there's going to be a lot of text in there that describes all the aspects of the telltale signs of a slop podcast. And you say, when you call your API and say, is this slop? You say, go look at this repo file, which describes what slop is. And if this feed matches those descriptions, then mark it as slop.
Hmm.
Or tell me it's slop so I can make a decision, or give it a score, or whatever you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
So this is all spaghetti on a wall right now. But I think we, as an industry, quote unquote, meaning people who have a vested interest in the success of open podcasting ecosystem, we have to get a handle on this problem, because it's all over the place now.
Yes.
It's in Apple's directory a lot.
Yeah. I love the community aspect of it. I really think this is great. That is the way to do it.
The hosting companies have a lot of knowledge on this,
because
I know firsthand the battles that they are facing with constantly removing spam feeds linking to escort services, feeds linking to,
that's not spam, by the way, that's it's information, man.
critical information.
It's information.
Like I said, Vietnamese casinos, affiliate spam,
right,
stuff,
right.
I mean, it's just like, it's hundreds a day that are getting removed, but they don't, for all the hundreds that get removed, there's dozens that get through that are just sneaky because people are having to manually do it. And so, I would like this to become that thing. And this is my, and so for that reason, I think the people who will have a vested interest in this would be hosting companies, so that they can get the feedback. And then they would also be the ones to contribute to the quality control lists, because they can type in the nature of what they're seeing.
Mm-hmm.
They're not the only ones that are going to do it, but I'm just saying they have a vested interest. And I think they would have a real boots on the ground look at these things.
So right now, the things we can do are basically just view. There's nothing else in this in the PI monitor that does anything but just monitor, basically.
Are you running it right now?
I'm still building. I'm doing in my cargo build. I'm almost there. Mm-hmm. you know me, don't you? Are you running it yet? I'm putting it on my little my nano Linode box here, so it'll be running in a moment.
So if you do right now, it's just the structure of what it'll become. So I'm trying and this may change. Other people may have ideas. And just like we're doing with the new aggregator stuff, I want this to be AI LLM code friendly.
Mm-hmm.
And so that means you're welcome to throw some AI at it. You know, go in there. If you don't know how to code Rust, which many people don't, I'll vibe code it. Yeah, just vibe code it. So anyway, I think
that's a great idea.
I'm just trying to get a framework here that we can use for tackling this slot problem. Because it's going to overwhelm us if we're not careful.
So then we have to have a PI monitor that monitors the output of everybody's PI monitor. Somewhere someone has to make a decision, right? There has to be a thing at the end that's like, okay, this is, oh, it worked. There it is.
Oh, did it
yeah. Run? Yeah. Compariendo la palabra de Dios.
Man, you sound Mexican.
The Charlotte Business Podcast. Simplemente descubre la Biblia simple. Wow. Refresh. Okay. Wait, do I have to hit return when I hit refresh?
No, it's just the R key should refresh. But it may not be anything new.
Right. Oh, I can get feed details. Wow. Oh, mm-hmm. Oh, wow. This is cool, Dave. Hold on. Let me hit this. Boom. Spreaker. Huh. Well, that's a beautiful little interface you built there, brother. That is very cool.
This is a good project for sort of spitballing UI ideas.
It doesn't like play latest from my remote box, obviously.
Oh, the audio.
Well, yeah, it's like I can't do it, man. It's not possible.
Did it crash?
Let me see what it do. Let me hit it here. Play latest. Downloading audio. No such file or directory. ALSA lib. Yeah. Okay. It's trying to play.
It's trying to play audio. I think you have to have the ALSA system libraries.
Yeah. And then I need to X display it out to my machine, I guess, or something like that.
Yeah. Who knows? But this may not be the right UI for this, but I was just thinking this would become also the basis for. So one way I like to work is I like to throw a whole lot of stuff out there all at once.
Mm-hmm.
And then it can sort of all come together, because I think we can see that we are a lot of times at the beginning of a project or an idea, you have a sense of what all the parts are that you're going to need. You just don't know necessarily the details of how each one of them are going to work.
Mm-hmm.
So you can go ahead and know that you're, okay, we're going to need a new parser. We're going to need a new queue. We're going to need a new aggregator. We're going to need a new database ingester. We're going to need a way to get the stats out of it and log monitoring. We're going to need a way to do a client side application in order to interface with the monitoring and with the management. We're going to need blah, 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 blah. Is you already know the things, even though you don't necessarily know how each one of them is going to work. And so that's the idea here, is we already kind of know the components. So I'm just trying to get all the repos in place ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
So that then we can begin to, fill out the details. So we have the parser, we have a repo, we have the executor, we have all these things now. So now let's go and just start to fill in the gaps. And I think what I'm going to do on the aggregator side of things, I think I'm going to use the live, this is how we roll. I think I'm going to use the live podcast index as the guinea pig for the new, for the queuing part. So the queuing, not the queuing is.
Yeah, because live goes to the top of the queue right away, right? Or am I misunderstanding what you're talking about?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, and so like if we use, one of the biggest problems and the reason why we had that aggregator 5 problem this week, one of the biggest problems is the lack of queuing.
Mm.
And so all the parsing is extracting all this data, and then it's all 9 parsers are trying to cram it into the database at one time.
Mm.
And so we need a queue system to get it off the parsers into the database. And so I think what we can do is work backwards. We can begin with that. We can begin by just not writing directly to the database, instead writing to the queue.
Mm-hmm.
And then get the existing system to work in that fashion. Then we can go and then now the everything from the queue forward to the database is agnostic of what the parsers look like. They don't even know anymore what the parser is.
Mm-hmm.
And so now we can begin to swap those pieces out in a way that works. So we'll start with our existing database and just work backwards from it. Yeah, Wow. And you're right, Eric. That lets you bulk update too. Yeah, so you can imagine if the queue that's feeding the database, if it's taking in just sort of genericized objects
of
data.
So I already scored an AI slop right off the bat.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, and it's interesting because I already noticed with my own neural network, with my knower, so it came in the PI monitor. It's a Spreaker, of course, and yes, of course. It had no description on the feed. It's called Quiet Please. And because it didn't have a description right away, I'm like, okay, that's odd. Why didn't you have a description in there? And it says Ghost Ships is a 3-part investigative series from the Quiet Please podcast network hosted by AI journalist Alexandra Reeves.
Oh, nice.
And okay. So the next one, because there's now 3 came in a row, because the only way I can tell is by looking at the feed. And
all from Spreaker? They all came from Spreaker?
No, the second one is from RSS.com. Wow, this thing is a mess. Also, it's weird when they don't do a description in the channel. That to me, that's a flag right there. You know, it's like, why don't you have a description?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And oh yeah. Whipandura badada radina madira chakalaka maka laka honey. Hey. Yeah. This is junk. Yeah, it's junk. It's junk, I tell you. Junk. And it's got it doesn't even have a media file? It doesn't have any enclosure? Wait, it does. Enclosure. Okay. Now, hold on a second. Since I can't do play, let's just listen. This is very cool, Dave. This is a problem because now I'm going to be sitting here all day doing this.
Yeah, this is a bad thing for you.
It is. Well, that's interesting. Hold on. Let's see.
Xin chào. Episode 5 khám phá thế giới cá cược trực tuyến đam mê.
That's a synthetic voice.
That's
yeah.
AI. Yeah, it's AI. So right off the bat, I would say, hey, if you're coming through without a description in your feed, you're already sus. Sus. Yes. File it in sus.md, baby.
new entry in the quality control manual. Yes.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. Very cool. So 5 of those came in. Tuckleo 18, Tuckalakalakalo 68, Tuckadakata 88. Yeah. So it's all crap. Hey, RSS.com. That's from you guys.
And you should have a language there and a if you hit enter, it'll give you some.
Oh yeah,
details.
Well, the funny part is it gives me language EN, which it clearly isn't, because they're just, it's horrible. I mean, you can tell right away. They didn't even take the time to fill out the description or so we have title, link, 3 links, description, but the title is the URL. which is this Taila Haka Laka Laka. Let me see.
Yeah, I see the 18.
Yeah, exactly.
To blah, 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 18.com.
Yeah, so that right there is generated. You know, some douchebag put that in there.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah, what does that go to? Kio Bundye Ganda! What is...
you sound like a Mexican radio announcer.
It's Vietnamese. It's some Vietnamese spam.
There's a ton of spam coming out of Vietnamese stuff right now.
Hey, listen, you guys, don't you remember us? That was a really bad, that was a really bad joke. Hey, oh. Hey, Vietnam, don't you remember us?
No, that was a bad joke.
Bad joke.
AI 2030, conversations about the future of AI. Okay. By Cut.
Yeah.
This is a mess.
This is sexy. It updates in real time too.
So, I think the alternate interface for this needs to be like a real-time view of what's happening in the aggregators.
Right.
So that it's not hidden behind a curtain of secrecy.
Right.
You know, where you don't have to say, hey, Dave, why is my feed not showing up? Where you can fire up the monitor and look at the aggregator output and you can spot some kind of issue.
Mm-hmm. Well, this by itself, I mean, I could sit here and just go, mark, 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 mark. These three can just go. And then, of course, because they're doing incremental numbers, Tai Li Kakuok 186888, you know, that would be like some flag we could tell the LLM, like, oh, when you see this nonsense going on, start getting rid of it.
Yes, the next thing that's going to happen is a flag as spam key in this thing, which is going to flag the index that this thing has been manually identified as a spam feed.
Mm.
And then the hosting, and then there will be a corresponding API endpoint where the hosting companies can poll and see which ones have been identified as spam. Because a lot of times they don't know.
No, but this is so good. Because, you know, our brains are much better than AI at recognizing this, but we could totally, totally teach it. And I mean, just now another four came in: Anchor, Buzzsprout, five, three, and they're all none of the, you know, they all have their description as the URL, which is just like, no, that's going to be spam. I already know it. The Pool Guides Podcast. Hosted by Christian Shrilla of River Pools. Uh-huh. Which type of pool is right for my family and climate? Please. Do they even say it's AI? No.
And what's interesting is you see things across different hosts that all correspond. So you'll see the same links and spam links and descriptions showing up almost all at once across RSS.com, Buzzsprout, Podbean. They hit them all.
Yeah.
Transistor, you know, and what they're doing is they're abusing their 7-day trial sign up stuff.
Yeah. But they're not even putting in an enclosure in these.
Mm-mm.
I mean, there's something Buzzsprout could do right away. Like, hey, you forgot an enclosure. No.
Well, you have to create the podcast first, then you add the episode.
Oh, so that's what's
can't
going
really
on.
Okay. Do okay. that. Yeah.
Okay. I see what you're saying. Got it.
Yeah, but you can check out, if you hit the X key, you should be able to check out the XML.
That's what I'm doing. Yeah, I'm looking in the XML. Yeah.
Needs to be a little bit of, probably needs to be some color coding in here to be able to kind of differentiate because it's hard to read. But we'll see that I think it'll be obvious if anybody downloads this and runs it for a little while and just watch, it'll be obvious what the problem is.
Everybody needs to listen to the Swine Health Hotline.
Yikes, where'd that come from? In there?
Just popped up. Oh, it has an enclosure. Hold on, let's listen to it. You know, because I'm just presuming it's spam.
Oh, I see it now.
Let's see what this is.
It all comes down to health for your pigs,
37 your people, seconds,
and your operation. Health challenges aren't going away, but Swine Health legit. Hotline will answer your health questions so you can make the best decisions.
No, this sounds
bodies.
Real.
Hosted by me, ag journalist Casey Brown, this podcast will arm you with valuable insights on swine disease mitigation, cutting-edge research, safety protocols, success stories, and more.
Okay.
I'm subscribing
the show
right
on
now.
Your favorite podcast platform. I'm putting it
in my Godcast.
I need swine health, baby.
Yeah.
Oh, this is so beautiful. This is so much fun. So, okay. So there you go. That's probably actually a real podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh man, this is great, Dave. Just this. So, all right. So how soon can I start vibe coding?
And
doing PRs.
hit it, man. If I don't get a PR from you on this by the end of the week, I'm going to be disappointed.
You're getting a PR from me on this one for sure.
Okay.
This is beautiful. All right, everybody, let's thank some people because we do have about 10 minutes left. And we got that magic number boost from Noble Pain, 33,333. And a nice boostagram for the Don't Kill Dave Fund. Adam made me send it. The V for V love in this episode reminded me that over the holidays on Linux Unplugged, we had our annual Boosties event. It's our little celebration of the value sent to us by our amazing audience. This is one of the things we use the current keyboard metadata for, keys and metadata for, by the way. Yes. Okay. Message received. Just thought y'all might appreciate the community love. Check out episode 646 for that long live Aggie 5, long live podcasting. And welcome to Linux, Adam. No, I've been using Linux for a long time.
Do it for Aggie 5.
That's right. Aggie 5 is alive, baby. We've got Martin Lindis Kog with 1701 coming in from True Fans. By the way, the Noble Pain, that was from the Boost Bridge. Adam and Dave, thanks for the open source talk, open in parens source talk, and the gig economy. Talking about computer nostalgia, have you owned a Commodore 64? Check out Generation 64 book. Time for a ride with the spaceship. Well, I had a VIC-20, which is the precursor, the predecessor to the Commodore 64. And before that, I had the Sinclair ZX80.
Commodore 64 was my first ever computer, and the first programming I ever did was using the basic book that my Commodore came with.
Yes, that was the same that I did, although I started with the Sinclair ZX80, and then the VIC-20, which was a problem in Germany because VIC, it sounds like FIC, which is F-U-C-K.
Oh, yeah.
They had a marketing problem. They had a marketing problem.
Yikes.
The first thing I learned how to do was how to get into the game module that you plugged in and copy it to cassette.
Copy that floppy.
That's
don't copy that floppy.
We were copying those plugins, man. Let me see. We have 3333 from Sir Libre. Remember to check out tonight's live show featuring So Big. That's tonight, 7 p.m. Central. Get more info at boostbeach.live, brought to you by Booberry and the usual cast of hobbyists. Yes, those guys are always doing cool stuff. I hit the delimiter. There you go. You're up, Dave.
Oh, I got some PayPals. These are over the emails because I didn't have time to print them out. We got Oscar Mary, $200.
Nice.
Baller, shot caller, 20-inch blades on the Impala.
Thank you very much, Oscar. That is highly appreciated.
Yeah, appreciate that. And sorry about Aggie 5, Oscar. It affected him too. My apologies.
Well, that's I'm on the Fountain hosting, so that's how Aggie 5 hit me. But it doesn't have anything to do with Fountain per se, but...
Hashtag remember Aggie 5.
Rip Aggie 5.
Rip Aggie 5. Yeah. Joseph Maraca, $5. Thank you, Joseph. Appreciate you. There's $50 from Mitch at Podverse. Thank you, Mitch.
Thank you very appreciate much, it. Mitch.
Yeah. Archie has been helping me to come up with some strategies for how to do these architectural changes as well. He spent a good hour and a half on a Zoom call with me the other day, walking through the way the index is structured and stuff, and just giving some advice.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah, that's I really appreciate his time. Lauren Ball, $24.20. Thank you, Lauren. Appreciate you. Christopher Harbarek, $10. Thank you for it. Really, I'm so appreciative of these people who have just been all supporting like every month for years.
Yeah.
It's awesome. Mitch, on a personal level, not a Podverse level, $10. Appreciate you, Mitch. And I think that's it for our PayPals. Yes, that's it for PayPals. And so we got some boosts. Let me flip back over here to our boosts. We got Anonymous from True Fans, 4730. Thank you, True Fans. I wonder if that's Lyceum.
Probably.
I think he's a heavy True Fans user,
Yes, he is.
NA Millennial at Fountain, 5,000 sats for the quick turnaround on the feed URL issue. The offensive thanks you.
Oh, I fixed it. I fixed that.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, I've been learning Merge. I've become quite the Merge wizard.
All that I want to be in this command line app, app. Yes, that way it'll fit into your, we'll permanently occupy a space in your Omarchi tile.
On my fifth monitor.
Yeah, on the fifth. Yeah. Let's see. We got Booster 2222 from Silas.
Through
Fountain. He says, I get putting HLS in the enclosure for ads purposes, but I expect that to lead to many self-hosted feeds trying this out without having an SSL certificate. So on all the HTTPS web apps, they now won't be able to play an episode. Insecure media requests are allowed in browsers, but not insecure HTTP requests. That's something to think about.
This whole SSL stuff, man. Now certs can't last longer than 45 days. That's the latest I've been hearing about.
Yeah, 47.
And they want you days. To just set a script to renew it automatically. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, sure.
I don't have enough servers in my life where that has to happen.
Yeah, tell that to
Google
organization. Yeah, tell that to the organizations that have an Exchange server sitting in a closet somewhere. Mm-hmm. No, it's like there's all that stuff's just going to break. Comic strip blogger, we got the delimiter.
The delimiter 17,000 pops in. Sets. Yes, beautiful.
Yeah. Through Fountain, CSB says, "Howdy, Dave and Adam. I would like to recommend a recently revived podcast with Adam's wifey, Tina. You can find. How does Tina feel about being called wifey?
She loves comic strip blogger, so she has no problem with his vocabulary. She's okay with it.
You can find it at www.curryandthekeeper.com or by searching for, quote, Curry and the Keeper, unquote, in Podcasting 2.0 apps. It's about their life journey as a couple, including their friends from Texas' small city where they live called Fred something. They need Bitcoin grams badly to buy food for their dog, Phoebe. So please send them some Satoshis. Yo, CSB, AI Arch Wizard.
Yes,
brother. If you need food for the dog, you gotta speak up, bro. I'll send you some cash.
The dog is working on the value for value system. You know, if the dog doesn't do what we want, there's no food for you.
Oh, you need one of those things. You need one of those triggers, like with a goat feeder. Yeah. Remember the goat feeder?
The goat feeder was great. You boost some Satoshis, and then the goat gets some food.
Yeah, just Phoebe gets some food just right into Phoebe's bowl. Yeah.
Okay. Burr, burr. All right. Well, I'm on it. Was that it? That's the full gamut. Well, thank you. Very much for supporting Podcasting 2.0, the Podcast Index mainly. And you can go to podcastindex.org at the bottom. If you'd like to send us some PayPal, do that. The big red donate button. But of course, you can always boost this show and send a boostergram. All right. Boom. Look at that. With a minute and a half to spare. Although I feel I'm going to be stuck here watching these.
I'm sorry I did this to you, buddy.
Here it is. Sitting by the PI monitor. Watching all the feeds come through.
There is so many of these.
Some
is slop
and some is not. What?
And there are so many of these. T-Y-L-E something, something, something.
Oh, goodness gracious.
Tons of. I'm just watching them roll by here.
Well, I have a feeling that there'll be a race for the slop key. Because you see this and you just want to hit the slop key. You're like, oh, this is slop. I just want. And by the way, I think there's a spam and there's slop. I think that's two different. You have a different doc for
I
it,
agree.
Right?
Yeah. I agree.
There's spam and then there's slop. So
there's also that file in the repo for what is a high quality feed. Like I think you need to define both. What does a good feed look like? What does a bad feed look like?
Exactly, Chad F. It's the new toilet scroller. I'm so excited.
Run it on your phone.
All right, brother. Thank you so much. This was a good one. Great board meeting. Boardroom, thank you all very much for being here. Remember, Oystein Berge kicks off in just a few minutes with his mutton meat and music. We'll see you next week here for the board meeting. Take care, Brother Dave.
See you too, man.
See you, everybody. Bye-bye.
Podcasts are cool. You have been listening to Podcasting 2.0. Visit podcastindex.org for more information.
Go podcasting!
Don't copy that floppy.